This is The Topic is Trek, episode 31 for Friday, November 2nd, 2018. Live long and wubba lubba dub dub. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already!
How do I get that echo on my voice all the time? That's what I need to walk around to be able to do that. Hello, I am here.
Talent.
That's talent. Ooh,
yes. Well, hello, everyone. I'm Clinton Allvord, one of your Topic is Trek co-hosts. And we have a full crew this evening. Beaming in to join me, as always, are Mr. Craig Stepp.
Hello. Oh, wait. I need a beverage. Computer, bourbon, hot. Oh, wait.
Well, there you go.
Ooh, that's a little too hot.
And pushing the buttons back from his world tour, it's Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
You know, those money booths where the air blows dollar bills around, and people who are in there only catch like $2. That's how my life is. Only lately, that's been crossed with an agonizer booth. You kind of get a picture. Oh, the Whirlwind Tour was great. It was fun to listen to Craig go bleep, bloop, bloop.
We spared no expense. That's
right. It was particularly entertaining on an international flight. I'm chuckling to myself. Yep, those are my friends.
That's the point at which Chuck said, I'm going to step outside for a few minutes and...
Step outside of the plane at 38,000 feet.
That's funny. Bloop, bloop, bloop.
So on a random note, I happened to get an email from Amazon the other day with new skills for Alexa. And it, I don't want to be setting off, you know what, but that Amazon home device, and you can ask it Star Wars or Star Trek. And
oh, no.
The answer that comes back, well, I don't know. If people have that, should I give what the answer is that it comes back with or let them find out for themselves? What do you guys think?
The IoT podcast just refers to her as Madam A, so they don't set off everybody's device when they're...
good one. I don't know. I say give it out because you know what? It's going to be out on the internet already.
Okay. I think it's a reasonable answer, and I think when we agree with it, it says, I choose both. Can't we all just live long and prosper while the fourth is with us? So
said Gandalf.
Yeah.
Yes.
Said Gandalf never. I agree. I like Star Wars for different reasons than I like Star Trek.
But on this show, wait for it. The topic is Trek.
That's right.
Excellent.
Oh, it feels good to be back.
Indeed. So we don't have to go ding.
Some of these muscles are out of shape.
I'll say, now you're quoting Tony Stark. Oh, it's good to be back.
Well, let's get us back on the topic of Trek with our first story from Craig.
Oh, wait, I got to click on the link. So an uncertain future looms in the trailer for the Star Trek shorts Calypso. Imagine suddenly waking up in sick bay in an unfamiliar starship in your underwear. Happens to me all the time, guys. You know, it's kind of weird.
That's that dream I had last night.
Yeah,
that's right. And having no idea how you ended up there. Well, the trailer for the next four Star Trek shorts.
Okay.
I see now.
We'll confuse ourselves too. So.
All right. So the trailer for the next of four Star Trek shorts before airing season two of Star Trek Discovery takes off this next year, has appeared out of deep space. Calypso boldly goes into a much scarier territory than previously in the previous vignette, Runway, which followed a self-doubting Incentilli as she realized she had more in common than she thought with the alien fugitive. This is also the furthest the franchise has ever ventured into the future. So Kraft, Aldous Hodge is an entirely new character who finds himself in an abandoned discovery 100,000 years after the events of said discovery. Who is he? We don't know. Who left him behind or beamed him there? We don't know. Is he as human as he looks? We don't know. Can you get it already? So what is obvious in the trailer is that it opens up his eyelids and he's sweating and he's panicking as if he just escaped from a nightmare, though he really is waking up from a nightmare. Manages to find something remotely edible and starts to some sort of relationship with the onboard computer.
No, it's a relationship where they're just talking. They're just good friends.
Yeah, sure.
Hope you have antivirus software. 100,000 years? The ship lasted
1,000 years.
Oh, 1,000 years. Okay.
1,000 years.
Yeah.
It's still a long time.
Yeah. So if I'm not mistaken, November 8th is when this one comes out. I'm looking forward to it because I think the consensus was we enjoyed the Tilly runway.
Yeah. I think that it was interesting that, you know, we talked about the fact it made a nice kind of, it was like a B story, but given prominence. This one, I don't know quite what to make of this one, though, because it's, at least according to the synopsis and the preview for it, it's only this one character on the ship, the entire ship, and we're 1,000 years into the future. I checked. One of the articles about this talked about being the farthest Star Trek had ever gone into the future. Oh. I said, can that be right? Everything I can find that is correct. That some of the stories go several hundred years into the future, but this is going 1,000 years.
I'm trying to think how far Voyager went. What episode was that? They went into the future.
The 26th. I think the farthest they'd gone previously, the 26th century, 29th or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. So, well, Archer, he saw the Enterprise J.
Right. And
I don't know how far that was.
I even looked at that one because that was my thought is, but I'm thinking, well, they run through the ship so fast. That was probably like Tuesday after next. But I think even that referenced, although they didn't specifically say that either it was afterwards people retconned in when that took place or something, but that isn't even as far out as this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's by himself on the ship, I don't think we're going to really get to know much about what happens to Starfleet or anything else 1,000 years from now, but it will be interesting.
You may get a few breadcrumbs. I think it's obviously it'd be more character driven about him rather than about everything else around him. You know, like you just said about Starfleet and all that, but I'm sure we'll get some breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Lovely breadcrumbs.
I prefer croutons.
Well, something that isn't going to take place. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Something we don't think is going to take place 1,000 years in the future was the other big thing to drop recently about Star Trek on CBS All Access. And we're going to hear about it from Chuck.
This is from Ars Technica. A Rick and Morty writer will take Star Trek where no Trek has gone before. Comedy. That's right. Do you maintain a soft spot for the beloved yet campy 1970s staple Star Trek the Animated Series? Have you lost more than one afternoon reading old script outlines and scanned concept art from the forgotten mid-2000s project Star Trek the Final Frontier? Today, Trek cartoon fanatics may be your lucky day. According to Variety, CBS has officially ordered 2 seasons of Star Trek Lower Decks, a new animated Trek series eventually coming to CBS All Access streaming service. The new project is being developed by McDonald's, writer on Rick and Morty, and it will focus on the support crew working on one of the other Starfleet ships. Quote, Mike won our hearts with his first sentence, I want to do a show about the people who put the yellow cartridge in the food replicator so a banana can come out on the other end. Star Trek Discovery co-creator Alex Kurtzman told Variety, his cat's name is Riker. His son's name is Sagan. The man is committed, or ought to be committed. He's brilliantly funny and knows every inch of every Trek episode, and that's his secret sauce. He writes with the pure joyful heart of a true fan.
By the way, I'm willing to rename my animals if I can get a job on Star Trek.
Yeah. But it's your children. Remember, his son. His
and name. My
Picard.
Children.
Picard, come here.
That gives... Yeah, Craig, you went down the wrong path with Harrison. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Now, right. If the Beatles need somebody, then you're all set. But anyway.
Yeah.
Or Star Wars.
Topic is Trek, Chuck.
Sorry. Oh.
And Beatles.
Where was I? This won't be McMahon's first trip to where no man has gone before. He infamously started a Twitter account called TNG under S8, where he came up with the fake episodes for a never aired lost season of Next Generation. The plots proved to be such a hit that McMahon eventually did an entire book on the topic, Star Trek, The Next Generation, Warped, an engaging guide to the never aired eighth season. No time frame for the other notable details were attached to the Lower Decks in the Variety report, but it's the second new Trek series CBS has announced this fall. Back in August, Sir Patrick Stewart told a crowd at Las Vegas Star Trek convention that he'd be returning with a cadre of other people who want to be on his show.
Yeah, cadre.
In the role of Jean-Luc Picard and the other new series CBS All Access. We eventually learned it would take place after the events of TNG. This latest announcement comes at a time when competition for streaming subscribers seems to be ramping up at the same time as the appetite for the animated and space parody, perhaps lessening the shock normally associated with a straightaway two-season order.
So we're going to be talking more about this in our main mission, but I just wanted to get that news out there in case people hadn't heard by this point that we've got a third series on the way on CBS All Access.
Sweet.
All right. And something we won't be getting, even though we talked in this article, they talked about the TNG season 8, the pretend season 8 that Mike McMahon referenced. We have another pretend season announcement, if you will. And that's more information about the Deep Space Nine, What We Left Behind documentary that's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And Star Trek Deep Space Nine, check out the newest starship to join the fleet. And we have a picture here of a starship we hadn't seen before. Mm-hmm. Star Trek Deep Space Nine Season 8 will be introducing a new ship to the fleet. The new documentary, What We Left Behind, looking back at Star Trek Deep Space Nine, premiered during Destination Star Trek in Birmingham. I'm speaking this in past tense because it already happened. And as part of the premiere, filmmakers unveiled the new ship, the USS Emmett Till. And check out the reveal of the ship below. The article and all the articles we're talking about during the show this evening, you can find in the show notes for episode 31 over at thetopicistrek.com. If you click on the story for this, you'll get to see a picture of the Emmett Till. And the ship was designed by John Eaves, who's in partnership with Star Trek Models. Star Trek Models, as you know, are making physical, you can buy them, models of the ships. So I imagine we'll be able to get the Emmett Till. Designed by Star Trek concept artist and designer John Eaves. Eaves' impressive resume includes Deep Space Nine, Star Trek The Next Generation, Star Trek Enterprise, Star Trek Discovery, and 8 of the Star Trek films, and even Star Trek Online. Clearly, the guy's got a heritage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I think you're going to already hit it. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. The Emmett Till will be under the command of Captain Ezra Dax in the 8th season. Right. I thought that was interesting as well. Star Trek Deep Space Nine. The team behind What We Left Behind had previously revealed the first look at Dax from the animated feature. And we talked about that in the last episode. It's not like an entire animated episode, but it seems to be concept art and maybe some motion graphics to kind of talk about what the story actually is. Mm-hmm. The new starship is named for Emmett Till, a 14-year-old African-American boy who was lynched in Mississippi in 1955 for offending a white woman in her family's grocery store. Till has long since been a symbol of the racial injustice of the era and the fight for civil rights in the United States.
Nice. I mean, that's a nice, I like the naming, the reasoning behind the naming.
If you go read that story, it is a sad, sad story. And I'm glad that they're, to be honest with you, I'd never really read that story. I think I've heard about it before and I read it recently. And when I heard this, I was like, that is a nice nod. It's
yes.
Yeah.
And anything that can bring a story like that, you know, to the forefront is a good thing too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the ship design?
I mean, we only have one angle and it's
Prometheus.
It's from the front and a little, you know, the lower part of the mm-hmm. the hull. I don't know. It seems extremely sleek for the look of the time not knowing, I guess, exactly what time we're talking about. I shouldn't say that, though, because it's clearly at some point after
DS9.
Deep Space Nine. Yeah. Maybe this is supposed to indicate this is the direction that ships started to take after the war. I don't.
Well, it has an E look to it with the nacelles.
Right.
The we have an
X-wing and an Enterprise had a love child.
And we've got a Superman logo where the deflector's shield is.
Now, I'm not 100% a fan of that part of it, but I think it's a cool looking ship. I know that, what is that reading? They were talking about the neck of the Starfleet ships. They were starting to shrink them over time because it was a very weak point of the design for attack. And obviously I think it was after, Khan.
Yes.
I'm talking in the canon, you know, they started changing the design of the ships because that was a very weak point of the design for defense, structural damage.
Right. And we've got four nacelles on it. We've seen ships in canon before in various wide shots that have had 1, 4, 3, you know, so not that itself, but they're also just flat. So we don't have an angle on them as I think Chuck was saying, it kind of looks like an X-wing to some mm-hmm. extent, even though that you still have the struts mm-hmm. holding the nacelles out from it. And we don't really have a sense of size to this either.
Right. It's about the size of the Reliant.
You think so?
The Defiant?
No, I imagine it's probably the size of... I imagine it's probably around the size of Enterprise E or maybe something a little bit bigger, maybe. I'm just taking a guess there.
Yeah. So I'll be interested, as we talked about last time, about seeing this documentary and seeing what the pitch was for season 8. And I think that it seems wise that they said, okay, well, we have to have some regrouping clearly after the war and things happen. And this new look of a ship could be one more indication of how things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, speaking of Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
We have an article about one of the characters from The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
Morn.
That's right.
Morn, yes. No, Morn was not on Next Generation.
Oh.
I looked in the bar every place. I looked. I didn't see him.
I didn't hear your M. I thought you said Gorn. I was like, what?
Q.
Hugh.
No, Q's
got his own. Guess what? CBS All Access announces a series with Hugh.
Mm.
It's a variety show.
And he changes the color in my living room lights.
Yeah. Well, Craig, why don't you tell us about our friend from these series that is not Morn or the Gorn or anything like that.
Yeah. So Michael Dorn, best known for playing Worf throughout the... throughout the Star Trek Enterprise universe, once pitched an idea to CBS to give the Klingon officer his own spinoff TV series While Dorn expressed his interest for Hope for the series, nothing ever came from the idea. Now
he suggested Klingon opera. It didn't go over well.
Yeah. The Klingon variety show. And he does it with Muppets and it didn't work. So anyway, now CBS has released their future plans for Star Trek with hopes to have a nonstop Trek. Wait, didn't they say they didn't want to do that?
They did indeed. Alex Christmas says that this is not going to be whenever you turn on CBS All Access, there's a new show.
Well, it's streaming, so yes, it is. Anyway.
Well, yeah, but not a new one necessarily. Well, it might be new to you. Well, yeah. I know the topic is Trek, but we're getting off topic.
Okay, sort of. Anyway, so with hopes to have a nonstop Trek, we're going to look into that one. On the CBS All Access streaming service, Patrick Stewart's return to the franchise as Jean-Luc Picard will kick off the expansion while appearing at a press conference at Destination Star Trek. Dorn mentioned that he was optimistic about what this could mean for Worf. Dorn said that he was willing to do the series under the right circumstances, like the right situation, the right script, right money. I think I'll do that part out there. He added that he wouldn't want to be involved in this role was simply a cameo, but he put, as he put it, Mr. Worf, what are you doing here? Kind of cameo. While discussing the potential spinoff, he says, I think this Worf thing would be perfect. I mean, really perfect. It's just a matter of getting on the phone with the right guy, getting the email to the right person that can actually get you in there. It's a little early in the game right now, but I think there's hope for it. And you know what? That's like every aspiring actor in Hollywood. That's their.
That's right. If I just get to the right person, I can make this happen.
Yeah. He continued by saying, I've always liked Klingons. I would hope so. I always thought that they were the most interesting aliens outside the Vulcans and all that. There is a certain Shakespearean bent with the Klingons. They are very nationalistic. Nationalistic, is that the right word for Klingon homeworld? Anyway, there's coups, there's assassinations, there's takeovers, there's all these kind of things. Interestingly enough, they talk kind of Shakespearean. Yes, that's exactly what we all thought.
Absolutely. I know that bar scene in
Undiscovered Country. Tribbles,
I thought it was just exactly like an As You Like It. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would, I'm still interested in seeing a Worf series. I think it would be cool.
I've got one for him. Worf's programming. He's now a software developer. Okay. Because I found the perfect webpage for this. A true Klingon warrior does not comment his code. This machine is a piece of gah. I need
my computer. Hey, my computer died.
I need an 8-core Xeon processor if I am to do battle with this code. I have challenged the entire ISO 9000 review team to a round of Batleth practice on the holodeck. They will not concern us again. And
perhaps. Oh, go ahead.
I got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Well, I got one.
Go ahead.
Perhaps it is a good day to dial in modem.
Oh, I was going to say, perhaps it is a good day to die. I say we ship it.
Ship it.
Debugging? Klingons do not debug. Bugs are good for building up character in the user.
I feel like we've gone into Technorama just suddenly. I know the left-hand turn there.
We hijacked the show. We hijacked our own show.
I think I shall write this in Python. Okay.
I had Python for lunch. It's best when served live.
Yes. C++ is a dish best served cold. But anyway, let's get back to our main stories here.
We're on track.
I'm doing my best here. So we've talked about somebody who wants to really get back into the swing of things with Star Trek. Michael Dorn wants to get that Worf series. Surely there can't be anybody else.
I think we mentioned everybody on the last the show before the last one where we
except went. We seem to have another person.
We even got down to Dwight Schultz, man. How many more are there? Oh, wait. We missed one, I think. Star Trek Voyager star Kate Mulgrew wants to bring back Captain Janeway for a crossover movie with William Shatner and Patrick Stewart. How's that going to work? Shatner died. I mean, not Shatner, but Kirk died.
Are they ever really dead?
Not as long as we remember them.
Viridian 3, man.
Too soon.
Wow. It's been over 20 years, buddy. Get over it. Move on. Mulgrew was a guest on Star Trek Destination Convention in Birmingham in the United Kingdom. Then it'd be Birmingham. Sorry, I said that the U.S. way because I didn't know what country it was coming up till I read the next sentence. During her panel, a fan asked if she would ever suit back up again. Ooh, it's going to have to be a bigger suit. Shatner, Stewart, and myself in some sort of movie? I'd love to do that. So the answer is yes, Mulgrew replied.
She did realize that the fan was not like the mover and shaker who was going to greenlight the project, right?
Say, do you think you'll ever suit up again? Mulgrew has set a pretty high bar to get her back into a Starfleet uniform. Hey, they said it, not well, I said it first. The Star Trek film franchise already moved on to a new universe with the rebooted version of the original series cast, including Chris Pine playing Shatner's role as Captain Kirk. Three films have been released so far, with two more in the planning, though the fourth has hit production quagmire with, of course, Pine's exit over contract negotiation. Patrick Stewart is set to return as his role in Jean-Luc Picard. Da-da-da, we've already said all that. While Mulgrew could theoretically appear in that series, even Picard's old next-gen co-stars haven't been contacted about appearing in the series. Everybody wants to get on this bandwagon. Mm-hmm. If I'm not in the JJ verse, I'm... Oh, it's not even the JJ verse anymore, is it? It's the alt verse.
Kelvin timeline.
Kelvin timeline. I see they keep changing the marketing name on me. I can't keep it straight.
Yeah, I mean, this is all theoretical. Yeah. I mean, she hasn't really lobbied for this, but... You know, I don't know, is production on Orange is the New Black wrapping up or something? And
it is. Actually, it is. The next season is the last season.
Uh-huh. There you have it.
I need a job.
Oh, by the way, Kurtwood Smith just called. He's interested
yes.
in, he's interested really? In visiting Picard.
So's the actor who played Charlie X, but that ain't happening.
Yeah. So is that dog who played the little alien thing in the transporter episode. You know, that, yeah, he wants in on it too.
The Mugatu is on the line.
Oh boy. Thank goodness he's not here in person. He sheds everywhere.
Hey, Tribble number three is on the line.
His agent will be in touch.
Right.
Oh, we've done it again.
All right. Let's move on to somebody who's, it's not a person, but we're moving on to a toy now. I'm sorry, an action figure for our next story.
Sure.
This comes to us from QMX, the people who produce a lot of replica pieces and figurines. They've introduced a Star Trek TOS Scotty 1/6 scale articulated figure. The article, again, you can find over at thetopicistrek.com. In the show notes for episode 31, they have lots of close-up pictures of this figure. It's very well detailed.
You're not kidding.
I never realized until I saw this picture how much he looks like Robert Conrad.
Yeah.
He's said battery on his shoulder. Oh, that's a callback.
I'll tell you something.
And the fact that he's flying a Corsair.
When you go in here and you mouse over the image, yes. You can get really close and look. Yep. Look at the threads on the... Yep. Uniform.
He's got about 12 thread count shirt. It's burlap.
Now, the thing that struck me about this one, though, is that they talk about how accurate this figure is. And those of you who know something about Jimmy and his time in the war, Jimmy lost a finger during the war. So for close-ups on Star Trek, he would always have this false finger that he would have.
Really?
They have... The figure does have all the digits, but they include an extra hand that is missing a finger that you can replace it with.
There's several there's several hands at his feet on one of these. It looks like he's just at a hand cutting party.
It's like he's got a collection.
You're right. He is missing a finger. They've got on the bottom figure. You know, I never knew that about Jimmy.
Yep. So that just struck me as, because when I heard, oh, it's really accurate. Well, you know, there's one thing.
Oh, they got it.
They've got that as well. I don't know if it gives pricing on this or not.
I'm just blown away by how detailed that picture is. A uniform.
Oh, $180. Well, that explains one of the reasons why it's so deep. Well, QMX stuff is really never cheap. This is really not
Mego.
No.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
We have a picture of their work later. Follow the show notes if you want to see Sulu the Fonz.
Yeah. Hey, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
All right. So I just thought that was extremely interesting to go to that level of detail. And again, level of detail overall. And this article, on QMX's site, you can see some of the other figures that they have of Kirk and Spock and McCoy, and the same level of detail in all of these. It's really amazing.
You know, you could really drive yourself broke buying all this stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
It's an investment.
I just collect the pictures off the internet. That's all I can afford. Hey, this would be cool to have in my collection.
Well, you know, in the future, Craig, you could take all the photos and kind of sew them together to create some kind of, VR space. Would you know anything about anything with Star Trek and maybe some kind of VR space?
Well, speaking of all that detail on Scotty's uniform, you can now experience it with a VR space like Star Trek holodeck thing. I'm sorry, I just kind of misread the title there.
I think.
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah, so I'm interested in holodeck. Actually, I thought that was one of the things that really captured my attention on TNG was the holodeck, you know, the whole concept of it. Mm-hmm. So the Lightfield, San Jose Holographic Display startup, Lightfield Lab and LA Graphics Toy, LA Graphics Company Otoy, which focuses on cloud-based high-end graphics, have officially announced a partnership that is making the Star Trek holodeck a reality. According to a recent press release, the North-South California Alliance will make use of Lightfield's lab innovative headgear-free holodeck holographic system in conjunction with Otoy's Orbix technology, which is first no-royalty open-source format for this kind of display. Okay, I'm intrigued. Star Trek's concept of a perfectly immersed VR world, sans headset or 3D glasses or any type of anchoring technology device, has been the white whale of the immersive entertainment industry since its infancy, and Picard's still going after that white whale.
If my chest were a cannon, I would have shot my heart upon it. Or something, words to that effect.
Yes.
I just watched, you got it. I just watched that clip the other day. This partnership claims to soon have the ability to fully immerse users in the sights and sounds of high quality media content with no headset, as they said several times before. We are building what we think as the next generation beyond augmented reality and virtual reality, said Lightfield Lab CEO John Carafin.
Did you get that next generation thing?
Yeah, I saw what they did there.
Yeah. At the Greenlight Insights San Francisco VRS event, according to VB.
Could be an enterprising venture. Go into the holodeck and become a Voyager.
Michael Dorn!
Wait. Royalty bell.
Anyway, currently the prototype format consists of holographic display panels that are just 2 feet long, but the creator and investors are confident that this new holographic form of VR visible to the naked eye will soon develop into something like a long-desired holodeck. They're hoping it'll soon develop.
Well, I did some research. I went to the site of the first name that's in here. Was that
the Lightfield
Lab? Right, the Lightfield Labs, and they don't really have a lot of demo stuff up there. I found a photo of the small panel that they're talking about that I couldn't tell if it was a mock-up or an actual photo of this environment where you're looking at the panel, but the things appear to rise above it, and the person has no glasses, has no, headset, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So this seems like this is the technology that they're trying to then incorporate in to make large panels, I would assume, to kind of have that four walls of a holodeck and be able to move about within the space.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it's a long ways off still at this point. That's a frustrating part about these articles. It's, oh, it's right around the corner. And then
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's interesting. I know that Rod Roddenberry is also involved this as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember, did we talk about this before or did I just read it? Maybe I read it somewhere, but yeah, I think it looks interesting. I want to know more about it. I mean, for crying out loud, give me a video. I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah. I was really hoping that when I went to their site, they would have something just kind of the current state of what they're doing or something like that. So yeah. We'll try to keep an eye on this story. I will check back at their site once in a while to see if anything pops up there as far as a demo goes. But for the moment, they are silent on how this is going to work. But speaking of silence.
And we were talking about whales.
Yes.
But just before we get into the story, Craig, you did not get a chance to go down to Georgia, did you?
No. Oh. Thanks for rubbing it in. Well, I was the only one home, and I didn't have a way to take care of the animals, so no, I couldn't go.
Pet sitter? Neighbor? Family member? Your dad's in town?
No.
You didn't try hard enough.
Shut up.
Like I told you, field trip to Ticonderoga at some point. So.
I think so. Road trip! All right, speaking of silent and whales, in an eerie case of life imitating art, the scientific world is abuzz with news that humpback whales have stopped singing. This hits extremely close to the plot of Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. In this film, of course, if you've seen it, the USS Enterprise finds Earth being attacked by an extremely powerful alien race, which is apparently searching for humpback whales that have gone silent in the Earth's oceans because they've gone extinct. Ooh, we're in trouble if a big core sample comes from outer space.
Yeah.
And then my cats would be answering.
We deployed solar panels and it didn't it failed. Sorry.
And while the current news isn't quite this dire, extinction could follow. The new study shows that humpbacks have gone silent due to human noise that occurs in oceanic shipping lanes, according to Science Daily. This article is from Inquisitor.com. The study was published on October 24, 2018. The human activity has created an increase of low-frequency noise in the oceans. Since humpback whales communicate with low-frequency sounds, they are not singing to each other because they can no longer hear one another. It's like when I go into a busy party or conference or something and there's just this din of overpowering background voices and I can't hear the person 2 feet away from me. That's what it's like. I feel for you, whales. We're going to outfit you with whale hearing aids.
Right.
Big Bose noise-canceling headphones on all the whales.
That would be hydrodynamic now, wouldn't it? Fewer humpbacks were singing in the waters within 1,500 feet of shipping lanes. Whales within 3,900 feet reduced or stopped their singing altogether. Most of the whales who stopped singing did not start singing again for 30 minutes or more. Male humpbacks are the only ones who sing, so it's unknown how females and babies are reacting to the human-generated noise. Study shows that humpbacks chose to stop singing rather than change the way they sing, which indicates that humans are disrupting their communication patterns. I actually have heard humpbacks singing. It is cool.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you can hear it on a hydrophone, you can hear it on a movie, you can hear it on TV. It's not the same as hearing it with your own ears. It's like when you look through a telescope and you first see the rings of Saturn with your very own eyes, even though it's a little blurry picture and you can see the gap, it's like, wow, I see the rings of Saturn. This was the same kind of thing. And we were snorkeling in Maui in 2016 and I did a surface dive down to about 10 feet. And at first I thought, my ears are squeaking as the pressure equalizes. And then I realized, it's not my ears. I'm hearing whales singing out in the Harbor Bay area, like a couple miles away, and it was really cool.
Spock!
Get off of me!
There's a human coming away. Well,
maybe he's talking to that man.
I feel like what's happening is the whales are hearing these noises like, so I'm talking into, oh, I'm sorry, you want to say something? And they just kind of wait. This noise,
Jerry,
and then when it finally goes away, Are you done? Okay, I guess I can start back up again now.
Yeah.
It is kind of disturbing to think that, you know, we're unintentionally affecting the whales that way. I mean, I don't think anybody would really think, you know, I think if I do this, I'm going to stop whales from singing.
What sucks is, you know, man-made stuff. There's no telling what effect we've had on everything. You know, there's no telling, you know.
Right.
This is somebody just stumbled across this. Yeah. I'm sure we've affected enough other stuff.
Oh, there's been a lot of species that have gone extinct.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I'm just thinking that would you in your wildest dreams think that the low frequency noise
of a ship's propeller cutting through the water,
it's odd.
That makes sense, but no, I wouldn't have thought
about it. It's like when they discovered that warp travel was punching holes in the time space fabric.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Exactly like that.
So on that strange note, we're going to move on
to another strange note.
Yeah, these are two stories that are really pretty much visual. So again, go to the show notes for the Topic is Trek episode 31 over at thetopicistrek.com. Our first one is an image that was sent to us. That was posted by Rob Usden, and it's he found it on Amigo forum, and he said, you know, this would be a good thing to have on the Topic is Trek. It's a picture, as you know, Amigo has started producing their line of action figures again, the Star Trek line, various other things, Happy Days. I think they also do chips. Well, in this image, we have the new hanging blister pack for the Lieutenant Sulu character. And clearly we have the little circle that shows Sulu right there.
And a Gorn.
And a Gorn.
It's clearly not a Gorn in that package.
Right. So you look and there is the correct color uniform. There is the correct, accessories. You have a phaser and a communicator and a tricorder.
You are in error.
Yes, that is correct, because the head is the Fonz.
Is his thumb sticking up? Hey,
you should be.
It shouldn't be. I mean, I don't know whether is it his whole body or just his head, although I suppose the Mego figures were kind of, no, it's, they're all the same body. It doesn't matter who it is.
Does he have the Kung Fu action grip? Is he really messed up doll?
That would be G.I. Joe, and that would be a completely different company.
They're actually whitewashing Sulu.
Yep. Put a new sticker on him.
Yeah, Henry Winkler, we're going to have you play the part of Sulu this time around. But it's a very odd thing. You do this double take and then triple take. And we also noticed that Sulu, that's in air quotes, I guess, in this case, he is saying, may the great bird of the galaxy, ...
Bless
complete
you.
This. Complete this sentence.
Well, it's on the other half. It's behind him.
But I can't.
Bless you. Bless something.
Yeah. Okay. I can't see the entire thing because it's kind of covered by the plastic the way it folds. Well, if you get what's funny,
it's actually numbered. Look at the sticker right at his feet. Marty Abrams.
Presents. Oh yeah.
Amigo, it is numbered. I don't get that.
5924 of 10,000. There's only 10,000 of these units made.
I hope there's not 10,000 of the Fonz Sulu's.
Hey.
It's a collector's item now.
So very, very strange. The other thing that was sent in by listener Diane is a video from YouTube. And this is from the YouTube channel, Where the Heck Are the Albans? It's a husband and wife, and they do various travel videos. In this case, part of the video is them going to Riverside, Iowa, and showing us the sights.
That almost sounds like the title of a Star Trek episode. Where the heck are the Albans?
Yeah.
Well, you see the sound from the Starfleet travel lanes. No, anyway, we get to see the gift shop. We get to see all the different flags they have on the light poles about future birthplace of James T. Kirk. We get to see where he grew up or will grow up, I guess. We also get the story about, and you'll have to watch it to really do this entire story. It's a plaque that, and it's inside a bar, and it says on this site, basically is where Jim Kirk was conceived.
Whoa.
All right. Well, watch the video and have them explain not only where that plaque is now, but where that plaque used to be in the bar. I'm going to leave that to you to watch and
find out. In the men's bathroom.
And the link to the YouTube video is in the show notes for episode 31. That seems like an odd point at which to be done with subspace chatter.
Can you take me to the quarry where Kirk threw the Corvette off the edge of the cliff?
Wait, you going to try to rebuild it or something?
Maybe.
You got time travel yet, buddy?
Hey, maybe. That wouldn't be the strangest thing I've ever done.
All right. We have lots of other stories we didn't have a chance to get to. So again, in the show notes, you'll get to see all sorts of other Trek-related stories. But for now, it's time to come back from that good old subspace chatter by pressing that series of buttons and go out.
Not those. Not all of them.
It's good to be back.
On our main mission where we talk about one topic, and the topic is this new Star Trek animated series, Star Trek Lower Decks. Mm. And we're not, just to be clear, when we talk about Lower Decks, we're not talking about the episode of The Next Generation called Lower Decks. This is a completely new series. I don't think it involves any of those characters. Well, certainly one of the characters.
It's a metaphor for something.
I see. We talked about the fact that Mike McMahon is going to be the story editor. Well, he's the story editor and supervising producer of Rick and Morty. He also, and this wasn't mentioned in the article, he wrote the Harry Mudd short trek that we'll be seeing in January.
Cool.
We don't know a lot about this series yet. We don't know. We know it's going to be a half hour long, but we don't know what time period it's set in. We don't know when it's going to premiere. We know that it's for two seasons, but how long is a season? Who's going to do the voices? Those things we don't know.
Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Hey, you're a good kid, Riker. You're a good kid. But
I don't know, Captain.
Oh, jeez, I don't know. We do know that again, Mike McMahon had this Twitter feed, and I remember reading this Twitter feed when he was doing this. I think he stopped doing it at this point, probably after the book came out. The theoretical season 8, and I have a link to that Twitter feed. Let's see. Let's start with the interesting last one that appeared to have been there from 2013. A nymphomaniac worm controls Riker's mind and body to seduce the Enterprise's female crew. Nobody notices. Eventually dies of old age. We've got one here that's a trapezoid challenges Picard to a race. Data and Geordi discover they've been sleeping in the same hologram. And it's just like weird, weird things going on in here. So we know that obviously his lineage of Trek, his knowledge of Trek and working on this type of thing goes way back. Also, he's working on another animated series while staying on Rick and Morty and doing Lower Decks. He and Justin Roiland, the co-creator of Rick and Morty, are working on a series for, I believe it's Hulu, called Solar Opposites. And that's going to appear on Hulu starting in 2020.
Okay.
So clearly got a lot of science fiction-y things going on.
He's looking at a lot of animated fires or irons in the fire.
Indeed. So what do we think about the idea of Star Trek animated coming back, but with a humorous tone?
I'm down for it. I'm down for it because I think it would be a different, you know, it's obviously a different point of view that we've seen before. So, and start, there's always been humor in Star Trek.
You think some of this was precipitated by the Orville?
I think it was more precipitated by the popularity of shows like Rick and Morty.
Yeah. That,
you know, you have this humor, sometimes dark, sometimes just weird humor based around science fiction. And here you've got a property. Here you've got a guy that's involved with that show saying, hey, I'm a Trek fan. I'm pitching you the show. It's got to do with Star Trek. And they said, well, we can't really have you do Kirk and Picard. No, no, it's not. It's a show about support people. And they even say one of Starfleet's least important ships. So it's not going to affect canon in any way because no one's going to know what's going on here. What I see it being is the sort of things that we often joke about Trek. This is giving Trek a chance to joke about it itself, about the bizarre things. So, you know, the red shirts, the holodeck accidents, you know, all these different things that happen, but they take them somewhat seriously, and this show would kind of not do that so much.
Wesley's outfits.
Yes, exactly. Why is Doctor Who now dressed like, you know, cosplaying Wesley Crusher? I don't understand.
Yeah. Why is that?
Timey-wimey. We're off track again.
Yeah, I like the idea of the show. I mean, we'll have to see it, obviously, to see how it all plays out. But it's something, once again, that Trek hasn't done before. Trek has had humorous episodes, but this is just taking it as a straight out, presumably straight out comedy. Now, it might even mix things. It might have a little bit of serious in it some places. These series often do. You know, you've got dark and light, even in what you're doing as a comedy anymore these days. So you might have serious drama mixed in there at some point. And yeah, I understand the comparison with the Orville, although I feel like the Orville itself mixed in with this whole thing is trying to shift itself to more serious than comedy.
Yeah. I don't think the Orville is as, it's not comedy. I mean, it is it's comedy to it, but it's more, observational kind of stuff. It's not like, slapstick, like Seinfeld in space or something like that. But it's like real situations that people have in, you know, between in relationships. But I don't think that has anything to do with this. I think you're right that it has more to do with Rick and Morty.
You know, I'm thinking about the, I was trying to find it and it wasn't exactly how to search it. On Dragon Con TV, for those of you who go to Dragon Con, I don't know if they still produce the little bits for this, but they had two puppets that were sci-fi janitors.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's still being produced, but I love those.
Where they're cleaning up. Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of think of it the same way. They were having conversations about all this weird stuff, you know, lots of science fiction references of things. You're going, yeah, it's funny because it's true. This, that. And I just think that this has the potential, at least, of being like that, of being able to reference things going on in the Trek universe and possibly being able to reference it all. You know, if it's set far enough out, you can take every single iteration of Trek and kind of reference it in there and just, you know, make some fun of it. Have some fun.
Yeah. The sci-fi janitors.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm with you. That's the kind of thing that came to mind when they announced this. I was like, okay. So the first thing that popped in my head was these two janitors, the puppets that you're talking about. So I don't know. I think it could work. And I think that work on some level, Rick and Morty is kind of clever on some of the stuff that they do. So I hope some of that bleeds over. I hope he's responsible for a lot of that stuff in Rick and Morty.
Right.
Bring some of that over. So I think it'll be good. Do you watch Rick and Morty? You sound like
I do. I do. I think that, you know, just have Dan Harmon come in for about a half an hour and just kind of pitch some ideas that they go, oh, okay, that's weird too. We'll do that.
I knew you're a community fan, so I figured that you had some interest in checking out what else is working on, like Rick and Morty.
So we don't know enough about this yet, but the thing that kills me, and we're talking about this, is we don't know when, because there's no time frame given for when this will happen. And if you're thinking that something was already greenlit for Hulu that won't come out until 2020, I don't know.
It's probably going to be that. You know, we got Picard starting to
start filming in April.
April. So yeah. You think, you know, 8 months or so after that is when we're talking about Picard coming around, maybe.
Right.
And then after the animation, of course, takes its own time. So it's probably into 2020 also.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got a while, and I think that we'll get little bits and pieces of stuff. Oh, speaking of bits and pieces, just cause we'll get fed a little bit here and there. I was on Twitter today, and I think it was Star Trek, not Star Trek Discovery, had these images and a little video that seemed to show the new Klingon the D7 battle cruiser, but kind of.
Does the battle cruiser have hair?
No, the battle cruiser doesn't have hair, but it has that same kind of plussing of the detail in it, like the Enterprise does.
Mm.
And then there's a very short video that looks like you've got snow and interference on the screen because there's a battle going on. It looks like you see that cruiser firing on a ship that I would tend to think is the Enterprise, but I can't, you don't see it long enough. It's like a 5-second piece of video that there's probably like 2 seconds worth of images in it. I tried to link to it on the Facebook page. I'm not sure if that link, but you can, if you go over to Facebook, you can check that out on our Facebook page.
Yep.
All right. So let's come back from our main animated mission.
You didn't get this thing fixed since I was gone.
No, we thought we'd leave it for you.
Thanks. I'll keep working on it on the weekends.
All right. And we're going to head off on our Warp Speed Roundtable.
Yay.
No effect.
Look, I found the marble in the oatmeal.
You didn't speed this thing up either since I was gone.
We've been busy, you know.
All right.
It goes from 0 to 60 in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I think maybe, well, warp speed round table. We should have like a Dabo table or something as our warp speed round table.
There you go.
Anyway, so for this week, I'm saying that many of the ships in Starfleet have significant or legacy names, such as the Constitution, the Dakota, Gandhi, Yamato, Grissom, Bradbury, Potemkin, Crazy Horse, Sally Ride, Shran, Enterprise, and the ship we talked about tonight, the Emmett Till. So they also have great heritages, and they have a lot of gravitas to them. But what if you could give a ship a bit more of a frivolous name? What would you call the latest creation to leave the Utopia Planitia fleet yards that just isn't right?
I got one.
All right, shoot.
And I'm going to say this very slowly and clearly so there's no mistake. Shippy McShipface. Okay, that was a little
predictable. Who voted on that?
The whole internet did.
Yeah.
So my first one would be the USS Ask Jeeves. No idea why. Just the Ask Jeeves.
I thought it was going to be the ship from your game.
I already named that one. That one is the literally. It's the literally.
How about I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but the USS George Glass. Do you remember who George Glass was?
Yeah, Jan Brady's boyfriend.
Invisible. Her imaginary one.
Got a cloaking device.
How about the USS Kick Me?
Yeah. The USS Wile E. Coyote. Yeah, you don't want to be on that one. You know?
Acme Corp across the view screen.
Yeah.
I've got the USS Pee Wee Herman.
USS Brock. Yeah. USS Broccoli. There you go.
You had, even when we first were pitching this idea, Chuck, do you remember what that, you did it in all caps?
Lorca.
Yes, the USS Lorca.
Whoa. How about, who was that named after?
How about the SS Unk?
Or the USS Bonk Bonk. There we go.
Here's a ship you don't want to be on, the USS Garlic.
There you go. Well, that matches mine, the USS Ranch Dressing.
Or the, you know, just, the Frijole.
USS Taco Tuesday.
So, the USS Pizza Friday. Friday. Yeah, there we go.
Pizza Friday. And we have a winner.
Well,
it's just going to be one of those pizza cutters.
It is exactly. It's a just, well, it's the sense of the discovery because that part rolls around, you know, spins around. So we've thought of some interesting, that's in quotes, names for starships. You know the parameters. It's just silly.
USS Jello.
Yes, if you have, there's always room for that ship in the fleet. If you have any ideas, you can leave them over on our Facebook page, or you can tweet us at The Topic is Trek and let us know what you would name a Starfleet ship, and it would just be horribly wrong.
We're looking at you, Crazy Joe. We're looking at you, Diane. Come on.
USS Low Fat.
There we go. Oh, the USS Wofat from Hawaii 5-0.
Right.
Right.
Well, nice. I think we need to stop this now.
Do we?
Yeah, because we'll just go all night with this.
Oh, yeah.
No good.
Oh, I'm just getting warmed up.
Oh, my goodness.
More Synthahol, please.
Well, it is time to refill the dilithium chamber and get on out of here.
Already.
You can find me, Clinton, over at comedyforecast.com or on Twitter at comedyforecast or Instagram at comedyforecast or on Facebook as comedyforecast. Basically, comedyforecast, all one word with the number 4.
There you go.
And how about you guys?
You can find us over at Technorama Podcast. Just search for Technorama Podcast on the internet. You can find the main site at chuckchat.com. Yeah. Love to hear from you.
Once you scoot past the Swiss Science Center, and then you'll find us.
Hey, I haven't done a search lately, but we're usually on that first page of Google searches somewhere. If you search for Technorama, you're going to get the Swiss Science Center. But Technorama Podcast, we're out in a field by ourselves.
And it's a good thing. I mean, what did I say?
Right. What? Okay. We're also going to be on the Trek cruise.
We are. Hope to see you there. If you see us, come up and say hello. And I'm not sure if you'll recognize us, but if you do, if just listen.
They didn't have any celebrity panels left for us, but we're going to find a way to squeeze on something.
Yeah, we'll be like sitting one of the lifeboats trying to do a podcast or something.
Yeah.
Bring your H2. Right.
That's right.
But for now, it's time to hit the theme. If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic is Trek,
don't put on red shirt. Shirt.
USS Red Shirt. I like it.
Yes.
Oh, no.
USS Coffee?